Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Now, my IQ is down at least 15%, I think, along with some of my energy. I propped up a little bit with coffee. We'll see how that goes. And but we have an important section to discuss tonight that's glossed over so much. You know, so much of this book is glossed over because it seems, I don't know, ordinary or unimportant or... You know, there's so many more sexy sections than what we're going to look at tonight. But there are some really personal questions in here. There are no wasted words in A Course in Miracles. There are no pages that could be deleted. It's just amazing, this book. But, you know, this one is kind of couched. Anyway, let's just skip to the, question.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, sure.
You should have drank at a boost. Someone's always telling me to do that to get energy.
To do what?
To drink a boost. That somebody is always telling me to do that to have energy.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Good tip. Good tip.
I agree.
And now I tell everybody to, of course, hydrate when you get sick. And I think who would not hydrate? But, you know, you lay there practically dead. I'd love to show you a picture on my phone of me laying out on the deck, practically dead for hours. And, you know, and I'm not, you can run out of hydration. So if you get this thing, yeah, hydrate really helps a lot. I mean, extra hydrate, double hydrate. Okay, so the big question. It's very personal. As I've been saying this year, Course in Miracles is very, very personal. And it's this, can you say that you feel or that you know that you have answered a call? Answered a call to which A Course in Miracles helps you. Can you say that there's been an itch deep in you? In you that's being scratched by A Course in Miracles? Can you say that wherever this Course in Miracles goes is more important than all the promises of the world? You can say that. Not only are you reading the right book, but your hand is in the hand of Jesus. Jesus just means the part of your mind that is forming this bridge. It's awakened. That means that you have chosen awakening. That means that some part of your mind has chosen eternal freedom, has chosen infinite awareness. It's really good news. You would be a teacher of God. God just means truth, right? Who would not want to be a teacher of what really is? And you notice that the book doesn't spend much time saying what really is. It sure does say what isn't. And that's because of where you think you are and what you think you are. In fact, you think you're a who. And so it deals with that. That's why miracles are so important. Because you really believe something that's not true. Yes, Don.
Well, I was thinking, and I just want to check this out, if you would agree, that it doesn't say, it doesn't say so much about what you said, because what is to be needs to be revealed, not learned from a book.
Yeah, that revelation thing. Right. What you said is absolutely right. And it's why the ego does not get enlightened. Because the ego exists as separate, for separation. And it came from separation thoughts. Small groups, so we get to dig in a little deeper here. Everybody would do well, as we're asking this very personal question, to consider for a moment the I am. It's said that Ramana Maharshi, boiled down before he stopped speaking entirely, he was getting his speeches, you know, when people come to see him, he would get them down to two words. He said, you know, consider, try to answer the question for yourself, I am. Then he would just go silent for an hour and you'd figure out. People said the most powerful meditation they can have. I am. Interesting, isn't it? I am. Now, because we're doing Course in Miracles, I want to offer to you that with a Course in Miracles pathway, the I is dealt with. The am is known to be completely secure. Not, you can't understand it because you have it so backwards. You're fixated on the I. Course in Miracles is well aware of this. I'd like to also offer some insight from me that I am. This is a thought that is at the divergence point of oneness and separation. This is not a perfectly holy question. Or if you were to answer the I am, you would not say, that's not like knocking on the door to heaven and saying, I did it. But it's so useful. It's like the perfect inquiry. It's the perfect inquiry. Because it's on the horizon of what you can and have, everybody here, considered. Some more or less, who knows? But this I am thing, it's really good that way. You've been called to find and be satisfied with an answer to that question, what am I? Of course, were you to be aware of spirit level, you would not have such a question. If you're aware of your spirit identity, you can't possibly, your abstract, the Course calls it abstract mind. If you were able to be at that level, then you couldn't make sense of the question. It'd be like saying, put the inside on the outside as if the inside never existed and only the outside existed. Put the inside there. You're like, what? What did you say? But that's what it took. You had to invert and divide and have these interesting thoughts that are not harmful. They are not harmful. To get yourself into individuation and then separation. Now you've been called to return home. And it's, for me, when I started my returning home to spirit, it's the only time I feel honest. It's the only time that I feel Andrew, whatever Andrew, place Andrew holds in existence, is being honest. And I'm really grateful that you guys show up so that we can walk this together. It's very wonderful path that it is not a limitation, but a removal of limitations. So together, we become more free. So this is your calling, to become more free. When you have a contracted thought or a limiting thought, like fear or guilt or worry or anger, which is really fear, when you have these thoughts, if you're doing your Course in Miracles right, you kind of stop and go, whoa, what? No. Take a breath. Say, reset. Use the lesson of the day. Use your favorite quote. Use my toolbox items. Reset. Why? Because peace is more important to you. Freedom is more important to you. The bigger picture is more important to you. And you're lying to yourself when you pretend it's not. Is that fair? This is why I wanted you to watch your words a couple weeks ago with swearing. Remember we talked about swearing? It's just a way to catch your habitual mind. It's not that swearing does any permanent harm or that it's evil in any way, but it does show the momentum of your ego and the verbal violence. It does show, gives you a chance to ask for a miracle in that moment. If you swear, it's because you've probably gotten to a button that's been pressed, or a habitual thought of loss has occurred. Of course, says there is no loss. It can't be. I mean, what part of oneness can lose? It does create. It does share. This you have to look forward to. But the loss, this is the cost. So, certainly welcome to A Course in Miracles again. You all are doing that. Okay, let's take a look. Jump to Manual for Teachers, page 5. And so you remember, the first section we looked at was who are God's teachers? And the Course says, well, it's anybody who wants to be. And then it says it's anybody who actually discovered that there's something about putting another's, what appears to be another, interest equal to or greater than your own. This is because you dabbled in reconnection. You reverse separation for a moment. You chose to do that, and a little light turned on. You're not capable of being a teacher of God because you're walking in the light. It also says it'd be helpful if you did the workbook. No doubt. And now, this one's almost humorous to me. You know, who are their pupils? So let's take a read through, and then we'll come through a few paragraphs in a little more detail. Luann, would you start reading for us on paragraph 1?
Who are the teacher's pupils? Certain pupils have been assigned to each of God's teachers, and they will begin to look for him as soon as he has answered the call. They were chosen for him because the form of universal curriculum that he will teach is best for them in view of their level of understanding. His pupils have been waiting for him, for his coming is certain. Again, it is only a matter of time. Once he has chosen to fulfill his role, they are ready to fulfill theirs. Time waits on his choice, but not on whom he will serve. When he is ready to learn, the opportunities to teach will be provided for him.
Wow, sounds like it's all set up, huh? Pretty good. Dr. Day? What's that?
Sounds like another circle to me.
Yes, you got it. Oh, you got it. Dr. Day, paragraph 2, please.
In order to understand the teaching learning plan of salvation, it is necessary to grasp the concept of time.
that the Course sets forth. Atonement corrects delusions, not the truth. Therefore, corrects what never was. Furthermore, the plan for this correction was established and completed simultaneously. For the will of God is entirely apart from time. So is all reality, being of Him. The instant the idea of separation entered the mind of God's Son, and that same instant was God's answer given. In time, this happened very long ago. In reality, it never happened at all.
Nice. Jacqueline, would you read for us paragraph 3?
The world of time is the world of illusion. What happened long ago seems to be happening now. Choices made long since appear to be open, yet to be made. What has been learned and understood and long ago passed by is looked upon as a new thought, fresh idea, a different approach. Because your will is free, you can accept what has already happened at any time you choose, and only then will you realize that it was always there. As the Course emphasizes, you are not free to choose the curriculum or even the form in which you will learn it. You are free, however, to decide when you want to learn it, and as you accept it, it is already learned.
Fantastic. I should be getting your mute. So, Ross, I got your mute. Go ahead and get us paragraph 4, please.
Time really then goes backwards to an instant so ancient that it is beyond all memory and past even the possibility of remembering. Yet because it is an instant that is relived again and again and still again, it seems to be now. And thus it is that pupil and teacher seem to come together in the present, finding each other as if they had not met before. The pupil comes at the right time to the right place. This is inevitable because he made the right choice in that ancient instant which he now relives. So has the teacher, too, made an inevitable choice out of an ancient past. God's will in everything, but seems to take time in the working out. What could delay the power of eternity?
Isn't that hopeful? Isn't that just a wonderful paragraph saying this is all worked out? There isn't some invention that has to occur to bring you home. I hope you see it that way. Don, I got your mute. Would you give us the next paragraph?
When pupil and teacher come together, a teaching learning situation begins. For the teacher is not really the one who does the teaching. God's teacher speaks to any two who join together for learning purposes. The relationship is holy because of that purpose, and God has promised to send his spirit into any holy relationship. In the teaching learning situation, each one learns that giving and receiving are the same. The demarcations they have drawn between their roles, their minds, their bodies, their needs, their interests, and all the differences they thought separated them from one another fade and grow dim and disappear. Those who would learn the same course share one interest and one goal. And thus he who was a learner becomes a teacher of God himself, for he has made the one decision that gave his teacher to him. He has seen in another person the same interests as his own.
Gorgeous.
Boy, I don't think this material is dull at all. I mean...
Say that again?
I don't think this material is dull at all.
Good. Good. Let's take a look at some of this great news. Go back to paragraph 1. First thing it says is that there certain pupils have been chosen. That's an easy statement for Jesus to make, because they're all the same to him.
Wait, say that again. They're all
the same. All the pupils have been chosen by, you know, your location, and you've got maybe a daughter or son or a parent or a neighbor who's, you know, problematic, a long-term relationship, multiple short-term relationships. Certain pupils have been chosen. But remember that miracle principle number one, miracles have no orders of difficulty because they're all the same job. Does that make sense? They're really the same job. There's a lot of us creative creator mind fractions spinning up things to look like different jobs, but they're all the same job. This is why this course is written with so much authority, and why it survived in my hands for, like, I don't know, 28 years or so. I couldn't break it. This, the simplicity to which it is talking, I couldn't disprove. And in fact, like I told you earlier, I felt my hand in the hand of the author, and I'm going home. It's some breadcrumbs. Course in Miracles is breadcrumbs to go home, back to awakening, without destroying anything. Destruction is not real, especially for something that doesn't exist outside of the dream. Yes, Ross, bring it.
So can I just wanted to check in a little bit and kind of tell, I guess, the group kind of where I'm at.
Cool.
Just been feeling like empty lately, and it doesn't feel wrong. It doesn't feel like sadness or anything. It's just this feeling of just emptiness. Like, in other words, I realized that all my, I kind of said this last night, that all my thoughts are meaningless. That's what's showing me a meaningless world. And all of this is just so unreal that it's just, and I don't know if anyone else is feeling that, has felt that way or is feeling that way, but it feels like it is part of the process. And I know I went through like a dark night of the soul where it was like, oh my God, you know, with Adi Shanti, it was like, his teaching was, well, you don't exist. So there you go. I'm going to take every foundation that you have out from under you and leave you with nothing. Ha! There you go. And, you know, it led me to a dark night of the soul where it was like hard to go to work and whatnot. But this is different. It's like just this emptiness. And so I just thought I'd check in, and maybe you, Andrew, have felt it.
Absolutely. It's a process. What you're describing is a necessary part of crossing the bridge.
It feels like it.
And it would be like the top arc of the bridge where, you know, it starts to get equally to go one way or the other. You've been climbing and climbing, and suddenly there's no effort because you're at the top of the arc of the bridge. And it's a little unsettling because you no longer have to defend and work and be clever about how to get away from the ego. You actually are knowing, not believing, knowing that the Ross is a character.
Yes, but it's not like that. It's more like the vigilance is so pervasive. The vigilance, it's like, no, I'm not going to believe that thought. You know, I'm not seeing that person as whatever perception
good.
I want to see them, whatever judgment, whatever interpretation, that person is just not going to fall into that category.
Yes.
Because I can't go there anymore.
Yes.
Every thought is like that. Every thought is like checked. Like, yes. Nope, that's an ego thought. Nope.
Yep.
So it feels like kind of like emptying, like Lee was saying last night, emptying that cup and then something's going to fill that cup. But right now, it's just kind of empty.
It's that. That's it. Is the work what you described?
Yeah.
Is forgiveness.
Yeah.
The miracle's already occurred. I mean, you already know that there's, you know,
and there's no going back.
There's no going back.
Absolutely no going back.
You've been reborn.
Yeah.
Into this fractionated mind. You have reopened your eyes toward the truth, and the light is lighter, and the ego is heavier and darker. It just no longer fits as interesting. This has happened to you.
Yeah.
I call that a spiritual awakening. I call it spiritual ignition. It has not only happened to you, but you're on fire. So, you know, this is, it burns.
And then how I wait it out.
Yeah, sure.
The emptiness.
But the emptiness is a necessary passage, as the Course describes.
I like it.
You love what you made. That's good news and bad news.
And, you know, and Adyashanti talked about, well, if you have this feeling that you don't really like, dive into it. Absolutely just dive straight into it and watch yourself come out the other side. And that's kind of what I've been going with. Is,
hey, listen, okay, let's do a little
be more empty. Let's be more and more and more empty and see where it goes, because it's not, there's no harm in it.
Let's do a little exercise. Takes about maybe 3 or 4 minutes if we do it efficiently. No need to rush it, but Ross has brought it up, so let's go with it. Okay. It's a little meditation. So, the two sides of the coin are emptiness and fullness. Emptiness and fullness. Everything and nothing. These are the two choices. There's nothing in between. Can you look inside of yourself and find little emptiness? You know, nondescript, empty. Actually, it doesn't speak, it doesn't listen, it just is. Somehow, some way in you, can you find this feeling of emptiness? I'll give you a moment to sort of find it in you. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just empty. Now, in a way, kind of point to that emptiness. I don't mean use your hand, but I want you to sort of imagine where in you might the center of that emptiness be. It'd be helpful if you had some kind of a locus. Is it in the middle of your head? Is it low in your chest? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all where it is. But just pick a spot in you that really feels absolutely neutrally empty. Try to find a place in your body you're willing to give over to this description I'm making. If you don't already have it. Empty. A little box of empty. It's a box of nothing. 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 You got it? And now, allow this emptiness to expand. Just double in size. And then a little bit more. Watch it grow. Let it expand to fill whatever part of your body you found it in. Let it go. Let it expand. And let it reach up all the way to your shoulders or down to your shoulders, off through your arms. Let this emptiness now just give it run and fill your arms. Rounding the elbows now, the emptiness continues through your forearms. as the emptiness fills the palm of your hand. Let it get stronger. Let it get larger. Now, with your permission, the emptiness goes ahead into each of your fingers equally. Right out to the end of your fingernails. And look, the emptiness is also working its way through your body, down through your legs. At the same time, it's going past your kneecaps. The emptiness slowly, calmly is growing. Down your legs, filling your calves, rounding your ankles. Emptiness is even moving across the bottom of your feet. And the emptiness is filling all of your toes. Meanwhile, it's well into your head. And while you were watching, and weren't watching because you were working at your hands, the emptiness had moved out into your hair, right to the end of your each strand of hair. And now it is complete. The emptiness has been fully expanded. And now you are full of emptiness. It should be very light if it's empty. Emptiness. And yet you still are. Check for your I am now. And when you're ready, please come back to the meeting in time and space and open your eyes. This little exercise we just did is on the vector of space, substance. You call it emptiness. We would do the exact same exercise with different words, different illustrations to discuss time and timelessness. They do converge at the same point, both being the same thought. Jacqueline.
Well, for me, kind of where it ended up was it seemed like I wouldn't know the I am until I'm completely empty. I am emptiness. And I won't know the emptiness until I know the I am. It was simultaneous. It needs to be a simultaneous experience. It's what came to me. It's, I don't know. I just felt like I understood that because I'm not really fully the I am. I'm not fully the emptiness. So does that make any sense?
It does. It does. Your audio is a little bit garbled.
Oh, is it?
Am it's I not far your away? Connection, though. Yeah, it's better now.
I'm just sitting back too far, I think.
Yeah, lay it out again for us, the two end posts.
Well, and, you know, attempting to visualize, experience emptiness, and I am, it seemed to me that it has to be simultaneous. I can't know the I am until I know the emptiness. I can't know the emptiness until I know the I am. It's like a simultaneous.
Yeah.
Revelation or awakening or something.
Yeah, especially because your devotion that's already been fully committed to living a separate ego is not empty.
Yeah.
It's very fixated on particulars and specifics. Things that would make separation provable. I mean, provable. We go to a court of law and it's the ego versus spirit. And in that courtroom, the ego's going to win. Do we exist as human beings in time and space? hands down. All the proof is available for the jury. Science has made some truly, truly great gains to show emptiness.
And also, is that when the eye disappears?
There you go.
Eye disappears, though. I just have me also.
Very good. That is a gift. If you spend some time with these meditations and the eye disappears, the am stands out. That will never go. You'll never lose your am, because you are an extension of God and there's no end to God. The I can go on vacation. I say vacation because you can always, like the Course says, pick it up again. Do it all again. You dream. You're not limited. You're fully loved. Fully loved and fully empowered. As God's very happiness, God's very joy. You know that God is not happy. God is not sad. You are God's happiness. It only exists because of you. Like, one of my favorite things was this mathematician who wrote this really hard to read book. It wasn't that hard. It was really well written, actually. But it was his spiritual journey. And Franklin Merrill Wolfe, if you like really good sentence structure, boy, this guy just did it like an engineer. Pleasure to read. In heavy Buddhism, Tim, heavy Buddhism in the background, and he wandered looking because he started to feel this ignition that Ross, was illustrating, the spiritual ignition that occurred to him. He couldn't deny it, and he began to look for it like he would with any mathematical problem, look for the answers. Surely he's not the only one to feel enlightened or, woken up or a little more free because of using his mind. He thought, let me just go to the masters and they will teach me, like I've gone to the masters of mathematics and they have taught me derivatives and calculus and all this crazy wild stuff that he did. He was very accomplished in math. Because of his high discipline, way, way out there discipline in math, he could do these really advanced mathematical things that, I don't know, would make my head spin. But when you get the answer, they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. When you see the absolute nature of something like pi, for example, 3.141619, whatever, even though it's an imperfect number, it's pointing to an absoluteness, a close as we can description that's quite beautiful. It shows up in the Great Pyramid of Giza hundreds of times before. But so the mind's been pondering on these beauties. So this guy pondered on he already had holy instances before his spiritual journey with his mathematics. Can you feel that? Can you sense that? Does that make sense to everybody, to anybody? Just like if you're a musician, you've probably discovered a little riff on your piano or guitar. It was like, whoa, that was great. I'm writing that down. Does that happen? Anybody? Maybe you're cooking and you found a combination of ingredients. For me, it was ginger and I think it was cinnamon. I forget, but I combined these two in just the right way. It was like, wow, that's a nice little zing. And it was an elevation moment. So like, good, this is good. Well, these happen on huge scales when you come to the nature of truth. And of course, in miracles, you read something and say, wow, that is really true. And I want to own that. You've had a little invitation. The Holy Spirit has invited you to follow. So Franklin Merrill Wolfe had these experiences with mathematics, big calculations to describe spatial area of, a tree, who knows, who else, but he got it and he could prove it. He wrote papers on it. Other mathematicians challenged him and then agreed, and it was published, and it's like, wow, he had a couple sentences in that book that I took away. And it was this. About three quarters of the way through, he says, I am because God is. God is because I am. It's the circle, and it's the nature of our being. We need to be Course in Miracles, and he says that you are the joy of God. The peace of God is with me now. Yes, has to be. Because I am. Because God is. But God and truth and love and joy and everything you want to attribute to God is because I am. The I am has taken on yet another pathway for you to follow. It's beautiful. Okay. I've lost complete track of what we're doing. We already read. We're in paragraph one, and I think I've called out sentence number one.
And
yeah.
Well, first of all, just saying those words, those two sentences just felt good to me. But that's all I can say about it. It's good. But before that, and after Ross said, I just need to check in, my stories look vastly different than Ross's. But I thought it would be good to just check in. I've just been, and of course I was in the class last night, and I've developed kind of itchy skin all over my body, all these different itchinesses. Of course, it's quite difficult. They're very distracting. Last night, and I've been practicing, I want the peace of God. That's what I've been practicing. And the good news is I'm seeing how unpeaceful my thoughts cause me to be, my judgments and thoughts. But last night and then again tonight, until this very moment, which is interesting, my itchiness has been so distracting. I mean, if I looked like I feel, I'd be kind of going like this. Okay. That's how I feel. And but somehow with me talking now, that's subsiding. And last night I started talking, and then I kind of got angry at somebody, and the itchiness was all gone. I mean, it subsided for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very anxious. I don't know to attribute this, but I will say 3 weeks ago I started this antidepressant, and I have felt very not reactive outwardly. And I have noticed, I'm sure I don't notice all the thoughts that are separating thoughts, but I do notice a lot in relationship, and sometimes just noticing in my mind without being in relationship. And I've noticed that I tend to be gentler and kinder. And at the same time, particularly like today, I noticed, and every once in a while, kind of an irritableness in the face of being receiving some absurd request or some just something that, you know, my ego definitely thinks I'm right about. And today, as I was doing a lesson, kind of early in the afternoon, doing the lesson and looking at dreams, you know, that because part of the exercise in that workbook lesson is looking at all the dreams that I still have that separate me from the truth. And I've come up with a few. I've been doing this lesson really more than one day. But I was sitting there and I was doing the lesson and contemplating, and all of a sudden, I guess something irritating about Michelle came into my awareness, and I felt, and I had this image. It's crazy. I had this image she just got received from our neighbor, this kind of antique birdhouse, and she had fixed it all up, and I was really happy for her, and it was putting all this stuff into it. But I had the image of smashing that in rage. It just popped in. It just popped in. I could feel
right.
My gut.
Right.
I could feel it in my gut. So I feel as if there's a lot of unacknowledged. There's a lot.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there because
don't bring the light.
Because if you're looking for unacknowledged reasons or judgments, you're going down the wrong path.
Okay. Okay.
What's happening to you is happening now, not in the past.
Okay.
And what's happening to you, the idea is to crush the birdhouse. Thank you for your story. It was very useful, and I'll show you why.
Good. Thank you.
The idea of crushing the birdhouse, this is not built on a tight logic that you can go fix. Don, it was a mental burp. Your brain, with the added chemicals now, I already had tons of chemicals in it, and then you added a few more recently to try to quiet down some of the other ones. That's fine. Good. But you had a burp. And I have heard this before. I've heard this story before. Different words, of course. But where an unexplainable rage comes up. And if you center yourself, you just take the birdhouse and your wife and the whole story and just set it aside and come to the present. You just go sit or go stand in a corner. Do something to relocate yourself and say, I'm going to step out of this. That will set up a whole different set of, dominoes of chemicals. This is the kind of thing you have to do. Because, my friend, all of us the same. It's the same for everybody here and everybody you know. We respond to the chemicals in our brain. We react to the chemicals in our brain. We designed it that way. The body was designed, the brain was designed to sit in the body, and the brain has access to a nice list of chemicals to squeeze into the bloodstream and make us feel like doing things. You've got some good ones. We all got them. You see, the miracle in this case would be for you to understand that your desire to crush the birdhouse was triggered by a little microgram. It would be less than the tip of this pen. You could put maybe 100 or 200,000 micrograms on the tip of that pen. That was plenty. Plenty to get the heat in the back of your neck going. And maybe your shoulders get tight. Plenty. This is how amazingly efficient your body is and how little these chemicals you need. So what you're doing with your spiritual journey is you're learning that the brain-body cycle, it's a cycle, right? You get afraid or you get angry, your body produces fear and anger. Any bitty little amounts of fear and anger, you couldn't see them. But boy, the body says, oh, you want anger? You want fear? I know just what to do. And a cascade of events occurs. I studied this in pharmacology. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. But it's all known. It's mapped and it's known. And you're just operating, my friend, like a robot. Once you see that, part of you can step away from it and say, well, I'm going to let the robot breathe off those chemicals. I'm going to have some water. I'm going to go stand over there to kind of shake myself back into a better frame of mind. But you have to actually do something until you don't. It would be helpful for you to physically start a new set of chemicals entering your brain. It takes about 20 minutes to wash out the old set and wash in new ones. But you'll find it very successful, and you'll say, you come back to us if you can pull this one off, okay, and tell us if it worked for you, so that you can teach the rest of the group how you disciplined yourself to walk away from the red and chose blue instead. The body's still going to feel red, Don, right? It's going to feel red because the chemicals are there.
I will say, as I recall, that my response was more like, wow, and almost like, holy cow.
Good. You saw it. You were looking at it.
Yeah, I was looking at it.
Nice. Oh, you're there, buddy. That's all you need.
Just not looking, made a distance. And then I was active. And I had finished that time. I got up and I was doing watering, doing different stuff. So it was a very kind of, in a way, momentary experience that really didn't seem to have a lot of carryover.
There you go. Yeah, you had a little touch of awareness.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You heard Ross? Ross described how he was dismissing thought after thought after thought. He was thinking, I don't know, lunch? What about lunch? That has to do with the body. Do I need to? Yeah, so I don't know if he went that far. But he's really considering. He was really considering the emptiness of all the things that his brain can do. That's because he's touched the fullness of all the things his mind can do. And he's like, I'm going. He's already, you've had your spiritual ignition, Ross. There's no turning back. Now it's just a matter of doing the forgiveness routine to get rid of the habits. But I'll give you some good news for both of you. Of course, all of us. As you make this journey, your burden gets lighter because you're learning how to take rocks out of your backpack one by one. And it just gets easier. You're like, you know, I can climb that hill. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going right up that hill. I'm going to think about my ex-wife or husband. And I'm going to go ask the Holy Spirit to work with me on that. Right? You will feel like facing things because you'll think, wait a minute, maybe that was nothing too. Maybe this difficult thing in my past that has hung over me like a dark cloud that I thought was maybe worse than anybody else I know has had. That too has been carefully nailed into my experience with my judgment and my fixation thoughts, that it could be forgiven and released and you could find yourself free.
This just popped in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's that quote, I don't know if I'll quote it exactly right, in the Course where Jesus says, what would you say if you knew that every event, everything that has happened and happening to you has been carefully planned?
Let's go read it. Page 443 in the text. It's a wonderful, one of my favorite paragraphs. Let's go see it.
443.
In the text, 443. Okay. Perfect.
Got it.
And it's paragraph 442.
Seven.
With my IQ down a little bit, I'll struggle a little bit here. But,
it's okay.
But there's three places. There's something on this page I want you to read. But there are three places in the course where it says that. This is one of them. And so read for us paragraph 7.
Judgment is but a toy, a whim, the senseless means to play the idle game of death in your imagination. But vision sets all things right, bringing them gently within the kindly sway of heaven's laws. What if you recognize this world is an hallucination?
That's a pretty big question.
What if you really understood you made it up?
That's a big question.
What if you realize that those who seem to walk about in it, to sin and die, attack and murder, and destroy themselves, are wholly unreal?
Unreal.
Could you
think of the math, okay? I want you to look at those words and imagine you're a mathematician to say, let me see, unreal means zero sum.
Could you have faith in what you see if you accepted this? And would you see it?
And now go to workbook lesson 136. We haven't been there for 10 years in these meetings. But I'm pretty sure that's where this paragraph is. It's about time. It's about time we go see this. Thank you, Don. Okay, look at it's lesson 135 on page 255. Yeah, it's lesson 130, page 255 in your workbook. And Kenny, you want to try to read something here? I got your mute. What was that?
Paragraph 18.
Paragraph 18, my friend. He knows.
Yeah. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life.
Isn't that beautiful? Luann, I'll get your mute. Would you read that same paragraph to Kenny so he can just enjoy it?
I want you to know, Kenny, I feel like my whole life has been directed. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, or he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life.
Isn't that just beautiful?
Yeah.
This is a love letter to you, assuring you that this is actually completed. You remember that we read that the instant separation entered the mind, God's answer was there. Instant means there is no time. Remember? So you never did fail. You never did actually leave. And this is just celebrating that. There's a couple other spots we could go to real quick. Go to into the text on page 434. It's beautiful. beautiful couple sentences for us. Page 434, right before the heralds of eternity. Top of that page, it's the top. It's the previous section, but it's on page 434. And Ross, I'm going to get your mute. And I think you could probably, if it isn't already highlighted in your book, start with sentence 5 and finish up that paragraph.
The one that starts with, "He will go before you."
Yes, please.
"He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on and no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seemingly, not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything except the only purpose that you would fulfill. As that was given you, so will its fulfillment be. God's guarantee will hold against all obstacles, for it rests on certainty and not contingency. It rests on you. And what can be more certain than the Son of God?"
And that kind of fits. That kind of fits well with the emptiness, the dark night of the soul journey, which is not sad. If you're sad or you're afraid, you're not in the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul is really an emptiness, where you know the world is not real, and you know that God is, but you're not sure what God is. You just know what's not true. And yet you are, just like this paragraph says, you are. The world and your body is not. Can't keep it. It's meaningless. It's way too small to hold you. It can't hold you. So this is emptiness is really very useful for A Course in Miracles, Ross. It's beautiful that you shared that with us. Thank you. This is your perfect.
A little scary.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's why this paragraph could be useful. Because nothing you need, Ross, in this passage, which you've already begun, you have committed to this passage, you're going over the bridge, nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. Now, Ross, you're gonna have seeming difficulties. Because of who walks with you, when you get to the difficulty, it will melt away.
May I quote another scripture, the Bhagavad Gita?
Sure.
In it, Krishna says, "I am the Self seated in the heart of every being. Remembering me, you will overcome all obstacles through my grace."
Grace. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don. This is describing the grace of God. You are watched out for. You have not been abandoned. You will not be left comfortless. By the way, those are the last words of A Course in Miracles. "I will not leave you comfortless."
Right.
Which is a quote from the Bible. Because it's true.
And Krishna also says, "Trust in me, for trust in me because I know yourself."
In the Course in Miracles, it says, "I'm closer, trust in me, I'm closer to you than your own heart."
Yeah.
And in the Bible, it's, "I'm closer to you than your breath." I might have those backwards.
I know you better. I know you better than you know yourself.
Isn't that a wonderful discovery?
Yeah.
To receive that certainty, that message, that you do have a guide and he's watching out for you and he knows you better than you do. And once you accept your guide's direction, Ross, that's what you're doing. You're accepting your guide's direction. You say, "This Ross character has been fun, but I'm going for a better guide to go to light and power. and freedom. And actual love, Luann. I mean real love, Luann.
Yes.
It's what you've been after. These darn substitutes are so disappointing.
That's right.
So there must be a better way.
And it feels so right that God is guiding me.
Uh-huh.
And that he's given me the Holy Spirit to tell me how to follow his path. That he's
yes, the Holy Spirit's job is to help you with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So you can release, release, release. And then, Dawn, when you have let go of your absolute addiction to the body and separation, then God must take the final step. You are incapable because all you know, I said, no, not all you think. All you know is wrong. And so when you're finally open, and like Ross was describing to us, he's starting to know that the stuff he's thinking is wrong and not worth effort, not worth keeping. In fact, it's probably make a mess of things. Don't need it. Then your mind is open. See, you're stepping back so he can lead the way.
So in that paragraph 18 on page 255, is it essentially saying all of these are planned for you to forgive?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything now has a use, and it's for you to forgive. And when you don't see it as needing forgiveness, because it's already forgiven, then you just go right past it. It doesn't even show up in your radar anymore. Mm-hmm. You'll feel it. You won't feel itchy when it comes up. your burden gets lighter. It really does. Because you're letting go of nothing that you thought was something. And you thought it was something very heavy. But you must let go of the nothingness that you have invested in, because you have made royal crowns and obligatory guilt as rocks in your backpack that you have believed in and feel guilty. All part of this nonsensical dream where you character separation. So you really have to stand up and step out of it. So, do you have any time? Yeah. Ooh, we got 15 minutes left. Okay. Let's go back. And if we can get through paragraph 2 and 3, that would be good. So let's go back to the Manual for Teachers, page 5. And Luann, you're up.
Paragraph 2?
Yep, paragraph 2.
In order to understand the teaching, learning plan of salvation, it is necessary to grasp the concept of time that the Course sets forth. Atonement corrects illusions, not truth. Therefore, it corrects what never was. Further, the plan for this correction was established and completed simultaneously, for the will of God is entirely apart from God, from time. So is all reality being of him. The instant the idea of separation entered the mind of God's Son, in that same instant was God's answer given. In time, this happened very long ago. In reality, it never happened at all.
This is really, really good news. Look at that. Look at that sentence that she read. It said, the plan for this correction was established and completed simultaneously, for the will of God is ready. Entirely apart from time. Now that means also a different discussion, okay? But it's entirely apart from space.
Yeah.
That also means it's entirely apart from the world and the universe and your children and Hitler and Trump and your dog and Mother Teresa and everything else that you could possibly love or hate. Here at this limited level, what you're accessing with your spiritual awakening is you're moving away from consciousness where perception lives, where duality reigns. And in fact, it's really fun, but it's limiting in order to really get the experience. You're moving away from consciousness.
Hey.
To awareness. And so, look up at the previous paragraph one and see how it says in the middle of the paragraph, it says, again, it's only a matter of time. How gentle he's working with what you believe, right? It's only a matter of time. Once he has chosen to fulfill his role, like what Ross was describing, you know, it's pretty tough. Sounds like it's a little chaotic, dismissing all your thoughts that were so useful. Once he has chosen to fulfill his role, which is the atonement for yourself, that's your role, for yourself. Now, your people you run into, people you talk to, people that are around you, the world, they're ready to fulfill theirs. Because the Holy Spirit now, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice for God. And God is not limited by time or space or people. So now, with your communicator, like on Star Trek, everything's translated. Instantly, in the moment. Now, you do need the miracle ahead of time. That says you're not limited by the laws of the world. You do need to have that holy instant. But it's a holy instant of nothing. It's a holy instant. You don't actually do anything for an instant and go, whoa, there's more in this emptiness than I ever thought. There's more versatility in the abstract mind than I ever thought. There's more abstract required in my day-to-day living than I ever thought. All sorts of things like that because you wake up to. So can we pick up on it? Let's pick up. Look at, now paragraph two that Luann just read. Sentence six. The instant the idea of separation entered the mind of God's Son, in that same instant was God's answer with a capital A given. And that's the Holy Spirit, this translator. The bridge was instantly formed. The minute you made separation, the bridge back to heaven was there. Okay. Now, Jacqueline, I got your mute. Give us paragraph three.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure. And by the way, Jason, we're in the Manual for Teachers, page 5.
I think after that sentence you just read, the next sentence is so, so important.
Read it.
I can't hear.
In reality, it never happened at all. In reality, it never happened. If God's will is in, God's will is God's will. It's there then. And there's no then there.
Yeah.
Just is.
There's no there there.
And there's no there either.
You see the idea of separation, anything separate is a powerful drug that made illusions that you followed. You take away the drug, the illusions start to get thin, and you look for them and they're not there. Like what Ross is doing. He's looking now for the meaning and it's not there. It was before. A lot of self-pride, and you could build yourself up, get smarter, and get the right, healthier, wealthier, and wiser with better friends, and you just, on you go. You're really going to master this world.
I think that's why lesson number two for me is so important.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And Don, I think if you looked at lesson number two, you could look at that instant in your mind when you wanted to crush the bird thing, and you would realize it doesn't have any meaning at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you give it all meaning it has. So therefore, all you have to do is say, well, my meaning doesn't mean anything.
Dreamed up. That's the very next lesson. These thoughts don't mean anything. The workbook is great. He really does start with the end. Those early lessons are so potent. And he just builds out a whole workbook, but he just hands it right to you if you're open for it. And you come around again, you see that. Okay, very good. Okay, great. So let's go for number three, Jacqueline.
Okay. Also, you know, there's that sense of, it's not that you're not going to have these thoughts, something like this, but there are none that you will keep, you wish to keep.
Nicely said.
And Don didn't keep it. Sounds like Don did not keep it. He saw it and you didn't keep it, so.
Nice.
And isn't that what Ross is doing? Every time he has a thought, he says, well, okay, that one's not real.
Laying your burdens down. Taking rocks out of your backpack. How is it that after a while of doing that, it's easier to climb the hills? Funny thing. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Okay, hit it.
The world of time is the world of illusion. What happened long ago seems to be happening now. Choices made long since appear to be open, yet to be made. Choices made long since appear to be open, yet to be made. What has been learned and understood and long ago passed by is looked upon as a new thought, a fresh idea, a different approach. Because your will is free, you can accept what has really happened at any time you choose, and only then will you realize that it was always there. As the Course emphasizes, you are not free to choose the curriculum or even the form in which you will learn it. You are free, however, to decide when you want to learn it, and as you accept it, it is already learned.
Done. It's already done in truth. It only takes one healed mind for the entire sonship to heal. Yes, Don.
Well, sentence five attracts me.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
Because your will is free, you can accept what has already happened at any time you choose, and only then will you realize that it was always there. Can we get
that
an example?
That sentence is not highlighted in my book. Pardon me while I highlight it. That is a great sentence.
It's not highlighted?
It's not highlighted.
Wow. It to me, it's so... a little bit of it's because I really have to... What is that?
It's great. Thank you, Don, for bringing that up.
So I'd like a concrete example.
How about if you think about eternity that way?
Yep, you could. Maternity.
Because your will is free, you can accept that eternity has always been there. There's no beginning to eternity is what occurred to me out of the blue. You can't say there's a big bang and then time started. It doesn't work that way. Eternity means there was no big bang. It always was there. Eternity is always there. Always will be there. There's no middle part to it because there's no start, there's no end, there's no middle. So does that kind of work for the sentence?
It certainly does.
Ross, it does. It might work, but I'm asking for a practical example and you just took
that is one.
Okay, so that's for you.
I'm trying to tell you that is how eternity works.
Don, let me give you another one.
Always there.
Let me give you another one.
Okay. I was thinking though, man, you may be not even here next month, next week.
There's going to be a burn mark.
If your computer comes on, it'll just be an empty screen.
There's going to be a burn mark on his bed. They're going to say, what happened?
What happened to him?
All right.
Okay, I'm still in bed with my itchy skin. So,
Don, what's the square root of 9?
What?
What is the square root of 9?
The square root of 9?
Yep.
You know, I don't know. 3 is 3?
Yes. Why?
I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
Yeah, but 3, it's very small. 3 is very, 3 is not 9.
It's not 9.
But 3 threes make 9. Only on Tuesday or the weekend? Or 3 of something stacked three times is 9. How much? How often is that? Would that be true? Every time. Every time in every dimension, every time. 3 times 3 is 9. We call it square root because we can just save the whole description of my stack of apples or whatever. But if you got 3 sub something 3 times, it's 9. It's very simple. It's beautiful in a way because it's so consistent. Once you accept that 3 times 3 is 9, every time, every single time, you could go to peace around the square root of 9 entirely. And once you get really comfortable with that, you can start to get a few more examples going, right? A few more 81. What's the square root of 81? Yeah. You start to get a few more examples going and see that the same rules apply for every number. So you don't know the square root of 1,036, but you know that it has one, and you start to get very comfortable with the unknown. Because timelessly, it is knowable and therefore known. The truth is always known. Truth is not discovered. Square root is known. There aren't any mysteries around the square root. So look at the sentence again now. Because your will is free, you can accept square root. The truth has already happened, Don. You know what? 3 times 3 has always been 9. Even before we had numbers, it was true. Is that right? Is that right?
Oh, but can we talk about people?
Do you want to switch up my analogy? I was going to go to coconuts or something next. You.
No.
Okay. How about this? Let's go to people. Fear. Fear or love is the only two emotions you have. One is joining, and the other is divisive or protective or running. One's joining, one's running. Fear is running, love is joining. Once you start to look for a person's motivation in what they said, was it love? Were they reaching out for you, trying to help you? Or was it fear? They thought you were going to hurt them, they were trying to stop you. Once you get down to these two emotions, and then you read page 217 that says fear is a call for love, in an unconscious recognition, the love that's been denied, you start to realize there's only love. Oh my God. I mean, I see my ego shows me fear, but even fear is just because it's not feeling love. So let's read the sentence now. Because your will is free, you can accept that love has already happened everywhere. And love is the only emotion.
I love that.
And only then will you realize that love was always there.
Because your will is free, you can accept what has already happened at any time you choose. And only then will you realize that it was always there. So today, there was one point where I was trying to communicate with Michelle about, we were both watering, and we were trying to keep track of what had been watered, what hadn't been watered. And I was telling her about it because I needed to go do something else and leave her in charge. And she interrupted me, says, I know. Just where the ground is dry. It's where the ground is dry. It's where it should water. And I said, why do you have to? And then I didn't go to an understanding, really. I just said, okay, yeah. Let's just make it simple.
Yeah, there you go.
You just water wherever you decide it needs to be watered.
Dom, would you rather be right or happy?
I'd rather be happy.
Yes, sir.
But what's lovely is if I can see if I'd like to be able to go, I'm feeling attacked, because that's how I kind of felt. Like,
yeah.
Hey, stop it. Stop talking to me. Okay. But if I could just feel, oh, somehow she feels diminished by what I'm diminished by my being so precise, and that's a fit that threatens her, and I can see that she just needs to feel loved.
Yep.
And that's
what she needs.
I approach that.
Oh my God. Can you imagine that would be the answer? So forgiveness and then some love.
That's pretty simple. Like Jesus says,
I think we could work this.
This is really simple. The world is complex. The ego is complex. This is simple. I mean, even my trying to understand it in my way.
Oh yeah.
That's complex.
Yeah. You bet. The ego will draw you right back down.
Just immediately saying, wait, I'm feeling attacked, but isn't there a place in the course where one person's just a little bit more sane than the other person? Mm-hmm. So I'm not better, but I'm just a little bit more sane in this moment. Mm-hmm. And I just want to extend love to you because
you can use that. Yeah. You can use your sanity to bring some peace to that chaotic situation and you'll both be blessed by it. That's being a teacher of God, Don. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for studying A Course in Miracles with me. It was beautiful. You guys came forward. Thank you, Ross, with your personal journey, and Dawn also with your very personal story. It's so helpful. We can use it every time to teach each other, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel better next week.
What's that?
You're going to feel better by next
week. Yeah, I will. And it's very mild. It's very mild, just like a heavy cold. It's like a vacation, actually. Like I said, I'm out on the deck reading and catching up on my YouTubes. Very important. YouTubes for work.
I just have one more comment that I can make, if that's okay.
Jason says, look at the moon if you can.
Okay. My comment is, for me, if you say 3 times 3 is 9, the square root of 81 is 9, well, whatever you want to say, or right now my wife is irritating me, I don't think you have to get into why she's doing that.
No.
All you do is say, it's irritating. Do I want to be irritated? No.
Yep. Like Ross, ask Ross what to do with those thoughts.
What thoughts?
Row them out.
Row them out.
These are meaningless thoughts that are showing me a meaningless world. Uh-huh. A meaningless world, by the way, engenders fear, and I don't want to be fearful. That's the opposite of love.
But what I kind of guess getting at is, if it's always true that we're only looking for love, or the square root of 9 is 3, if it's always true, always doesn't mean anything. Always isn't a time.
It allows you to leave all of the other numbers behind. You can let go of the square root of 1,062. Just let it go. I could get there if I wanted to. I don't need to. Because square root's true. It's always been true. And if we're going to discuss square root, I'm really comfortable. Don could stand up right now and give a speech on square root for a week or so. He's going to forget, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, he's empowered to forget all the other square roots. There's innumerable square roots. But you see,
what I'm trying to say is there's no such thing as time, because always doesn't indicate any kind of time.
Well, there you go. That's how you can release yourself from time.
And also, if you think about it, you don't need to understand why your wife is irritated with you. You just need to say, I don't want to be this way.
And your lovingness, your loving nature will call hers forth.
Yep.
She's not upset for the reason she thinks.
And I'm not upset, and I'm not feeling scared for the reason I think either.
No.
So I think you're not qualified to enter the conversation. All right, good night, you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.